artillery shells and cannonballs and cannons, and he would even dive into the dark rivers, the black rivers, and recover ordinances that had been lost. And in 2008, he was doing what he had done time and time again. He was there in his driveway, and he was cleaning and restoring a 75-pound naval cannonball. Well, there's a difference between a naval cannonball and an infantry cannonball. You see, a naval cannonball was designed to skip across the top of the water. Once it hit its target, then it was to explode. You see, the difference between a naval cannonball and an infantry cannonball, the infantry cannonball was solid. It was cast of solid material. But the naval cannonball had black powder inside of it. 142 years later, as he was cleaning and restoring that cannonball, it detonated. He was in his driveway. It killed Sam White instantly. They found shrapnel for over a quarter of a mile away, destroying houses along its path. And something in that article caught my attention. And it said, just because it is buried doesn't mean that it's dead. I said to myself, self, make a note, that'll preach. Just because it's buried doesn't mean it's dead. I see here in our scripture that they took a man... and threw him in on the bones of Elisha. And he came back to life. They thought the old prophet was dead. But you see, the prophet Elisha had followed the prophet Elijah and said he had a wish from God. He said, I want a double portion. You remember the old prophet Elijah? He's the one that God performed 14 different miracles for. Miraculously. Done miracle after miracle for that prophet Elijah. Was caught away in a whirlwind. You say, well, wait a minute. The scripture tells us that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, a judgment. He couldn't have went away in a whirlwind. Wait a minute. You'll find him back in the book of Revelations. He's one of the two witnesses that come back. He will die a natural death. That's another sermon for another time. Somebody said, well, there's no way he could have been caught up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. Breaking through the atmosphere, he would have froze to death. That's why God had him in a chariot of fire to keep him warm. He got ushered into the presence of the Almighty God. Don't you think God created this universe? He kind of knows how to take care of him. But Elisha, you get to reading about the miracles that Elisha performed. He asked for a double portion. 14 times 2 is 28. You'll read of 27 miracles that Elisha performed through the power of God while he was alive. They threw this dead man in on top of him, number 28. They just thought that they buried a prophet. I get over into 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 8. You remember this story? Josiah was just a young kid, 8 years old when he became king. By the time he gets to 18, he realizes the house of God is in disarray and discord. And he said, we got to do something to get order established back in the house of the Lord. Verse number 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Drop down to verse number 13. He says, go ye and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. What he said is somebody went and hid the book. They tried to bury the scripture. They tried to bury the word of God. You might bury it, but that doesn't mean it's dead. You may go to church and you may say, well, I don't like all that conviction. I don't like the power that you're preaching about. I'll tell you what, you can try to bury it, but it's still alive. I don't like the Holy Spirit moving in, but that's why churches are dead. You can try to cover it up, but I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is still moving in 2026 in America. They tried to bury the prophet. But it didn't work out too well for them. You know, I thought about, there was a mother that had given birth to a little preemie baby. The baby had come real early. And the doctor got to noticing that the mother was in the room. And around the baby's breathing was better. The baby just seemed to do better. Finally, the doctor noticed that when the mother would leave, the little infant would get worse. He finally asked her, said, do you have another child, don't you? She said, yes. She said, do you have a baby blanket? She said, well, yeah, I do. He said, well, will you bring that baby blanket up here to the hospital and let's put it around that newborn, that preemie baby? They did it, and it worked. You know what it was? It was the presence of the mother's scent on that blanket. You may not be able to see the Holy Spirit, but I'll tell you what, I can feel Him. And I know His presence, He's here. You may try to ignore Him. You may try to bury Him. But He, just because He's buried doesn't mean that He's dead. They tried to bury the Word of God. And then I seen also that they tried to bury the Son of God. He was crucified on an old rugged cross. They placed Him in a tomb. And from the time that they placed Him, I believe that He went into the abyss, into the hereafter. He ministered to everyone from Abraham all the way forward. They just thought they had killed Him. They thought that they had done away with Him. And you know, I've often thought about what kind of a funeral they must have had. We know that they anointed Him with spikenard and the different burial fragrances that they had and the spices that they had at that time. They put Him in grave clothes and placed Him in a brand new tomb, a tomb that had never been used before as a borrowed tomb. But He wasn't going to stay there. Matter of fact, He said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Just because it's buried doesn't mean it's dead. You know, when I first started ministering and started preaching, had my first funeral to do, and I thought, well, that'll be easy. I'll just look up in the Bible and see how Jesus done it. It didn't work out so well. Everywhere he went to a funeral, he raised the dead. Try that in a church service today. But I got to thinking about what kind of a funeral did they have. And my mind went back to a rendition, I guess is what it's called, a Big Mo. Some of y'all may have heard this. But I'm going to read it to you this morning. And I believe this is probably about as accurate as anyone could describe it. It said it was midnight on a Saturday when the announcement was made. They were having Jesus' funeral outside his garden grave. So great was the crowd that gathered that day, that dark and lonely place, as they told of the greatness of Jesus. A look of loss on each face, and tears filled the eyes of many, and others were seized by fear. If he was who he claimed to be, then how did he wind up here? All I know is I could not see. Bartimaeus cried aloud. Then Jesus opened my blinded eyes, and he hushed the covered crowd. I was caught in the act of adultery. When they threw me at his feet, Mary cried. And all I know is that he showed real mercy to me. I only had a picnic lunch, I heard a small boy say. And Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and 2 small fish and made an all-you-can-eat buffet. On and on, they just kept coming with amazing stories to tell. Like the woman who was forever changed when she met Jesus at the well. Hey, let me tell you my story, Lazarus loudly said. Jesus gave life back to me, and I know I was dead. On and on, they just kept coming. So great was his fame. If they think they can hold him here, someone said, why, they're all insane. Then all at once, the place got quiet, except for a hideous sound. Laughing, Satan himself showed up, just walking around. Pacing up and down, fools, all of you, I heard Satan cry. Your God is dead and buried. Why, you all saw him die. But then like a mighty rushing wind, in walked the Holy Ghost. Satan took 2 steps back, trembling, surrounded by a heavenly host. Why are you here? Satan screamed. When the Holy Ghost turned erupt, the Master left a wake-up call with the Father, and I just came to wake him up. When should I move the stone? Michael, the angel of war, asked. When you see the sunrise, the Holy Ghost said, then you can do the task. What's the stone? Satan cried as demons filled the place. Over my dead body, will he ever rise? The Holy Ghost said, whatever it takes. Then the first ray of sunshine broke through the morning light. What happened next was awesome and such an amazing and glorious sight. With just a little push, Michael rolled the stone away. And on the cold, hard slab of death, there the body of Jesus lay. Demons tried to hold him down as death strained at his chest. Hold him fast, Satan screamed. Death replied, I'm doing my best. Then a demon shrieked, I saw him move. And another cried, it's true. I don't think we can hold him here. We're doing all we can do. It was such an amazing thing to see death itself giving birth as the morning sun come up. Thunder rolled and a quake shook the earth. Oh my God, I heard death say, as Jesus opened up his eyes, you should have seen the look on death's face when Jesus said, you got that right. It showed Satan's eyes. With fear, his heart was seized. Satan trembled and demons ran as Jesus shook the keys. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? As all of hell was shaken and all of heaven began to sing, you could hear the applause of heaven as God himself rose from the throne. Death had been defeated and there was a celebration going on. So I guess this funeral is over. He's no longer in the ground. Jesus rose with great power, proving that you can't keep a good man down. So with great ovation of praise, lift your voice and shout, Satan has lost the battle, and that there is no doubt. Now let all the earth rejoice and all creation sing. Jesus is alive and well, and forever the King of Kings. They buried him, but that didn't mean that he was dead. My mind went back to the book of Genesis. Chapter number 4, I believe it is. You'll read the story there, the account of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, brothers. Cain allowed sin to rise up in him, a jealousy. He slew his brother Abel. And he done like so many people today. He says, you know what I'll do? I'll just cover that up. Nobody knows. They tried to bury the prophet. They tried to bury the Word. And they tried to bury Jesus. But today we're trying to bury and cover up sin. The Bible says that the Lord said, thy brother's blood crieth from the ground. You may try to bury it. You may try to cover it up. But just because you buried it does not mean it's dead. You have to get it covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. But preacher, that was a long time ago. Sam White had an ordinance that was 142 years old, and it took his life. What are you saying? I'm saying you'll stand before God one day in judgment. And if it is not covered under the blood, when the books are open, you know, we try to cover up the preaching we don't like to hear. If I was to ask you to go into your library and tell me how many books that you have, sermons that you have on hell, they would be very few. You know why? Because people do not want to hear preaching about hell. They don't want to hear preaching about sin, about alcohol and drugs and addictions and pornography. They don't want to hear about things like that. Why? Because they want to bury it and cover it up. You can put it 6 feet under, and just because you cover it up doesn't mean it's dead. Well, what's the remedy, preacher? Get it covered under the blood. It takes the blood of Jesus for the remissions of sin. Well, what do? It's simple. He said to confess our sins before Him. Come to an altar, find a place, and say, Lord, it's not that He don't know what you, He already knows what you've done. He just wants you to ask Him and ask Him to forgive you. You're not telling Him anything that He does not already know. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. That means that He already knows everything. He wrote this book from the beginning to the end. From the end to the beginning. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's seen you do what you did. You may try to cover it up, and you may have everyone around you fooled. I don't know why I'm going this way this morning, but He does. He knows what you've done. Stand with me, if you will. The altar's open. Maybe someone has a need to pray. Maybe this morning, and you don't have to tell me what you've done. It's none of my business. But I feel today there is someone here that needs to come forward and say, God, I need to get this taken care of. I've been trying to hide it. I thought it was covered. I thought it was taken care of. Nobody knew. But Lord, I want to make sure it's under the blood. The altar's open this morning. Would there be a one? I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done myself. The Scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory. That includes me. But you're a preacher. Yeah, I'm a preacher. But you know what? Preachers mess up too. I'm not perfect. And you're not either. Come on, church, let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord a while this morning. I've done my best.